Take our Bibles tonight, open them to the book of Exodus, the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, chapter 18. The Lord has taken us tonight to the 18th chapter of the book of Exodus. You know, as a ministry, God has given us a great commission. A great commission is to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. We are to disciple all the nations and then teach them all that God wanted us to do. And our church here, First Fundamental Bible Church, has a great commission given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ, and it takes an army of people to get the job done. You and I are part of that army. All of you that are here are part of that army. And a part of our desire is for God to raise up among us leaders, those that are going to lead the charge, responsible to accomplish the great commission by taking on respective responsibilities, respective ministries, and then getting the job done for our Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer is that you will be that individual, a man or woman, a brother or sister in Christ, that will be willing to take up the mantle, take on the responsibility, and be a leader and help us accomplish the Great Commission. That is our desire. And we have then taken time on Sunday nights to talk about leadership, equipping us to do that. My desire is to equip you by God's word, equip you to be the best leader possible, that you and I would accomplish the Great Commission. You know, God has placed us here in an ideal location. Washington Boulevard, 605 Freeway in the San Gabriel Valley. What a good place to be. What a way to impact this large, large area for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to have you be a part of that team and for you to be a leader that God is going to take to accomplish the Great Commission. Don't ever sell yourself short. You know, sometimes leaders are born. Most of the time, they are made. On rare occasions, you find a rising star that God has equipped, and they have these born leadership qualities. But for the rest of us, we have to learn how to be effective leaders. And we're asking God to help us. And tonight, we're going to the 18th chapter of the book of Exodus to talk about an aspect of leadership called delegation. It's a vital, vital aspect of leadership called delegation. How to learn to delegate responsibilities, how to learn to be a leader and take lessons that God has given us and then have other people help us to accomplish the Great Commission. Let's stand for you as you and I read this great portion of Scripture. It is found in Exodus and involves one of the greatest leaders of all time, the man called Moses. Verse 13. Came about the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood about Moses from morning until evening. Now when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, and all the people stand about you from morning until evening?" Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, it comes to me, and I judge between a man and his neighbor, and make known the statutes of God and his laws." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you are doing is not good. You will surely wear out both yourself and these people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone." Now listen to me. "I shall give you counsel, and God be with you. You be the people's representative before God, and you bring the disputes to God. Then teach them the statutes and the laws, and make known to them the way in which they are to walk and the work they are to do. Furthermore, you shall select out of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain, and you shall place these over as leaders, of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. Let them judge the people at all times. And let it be that every major dispute they'll bring to you, but every minor dispute they themselves will judge. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure. And all these people also will go to their place in peace." So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. They judged the people at all times. The difficult dispute they would bring to Moses, but every minor dispute they themselves would judge. Then Moses bade his father-in-law farewell, and he went his way into his own land. Father, we pray this morning, or this evening, that your grace be upon us, and that you help us to become more effective leaders. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. What you find here is one of the most interesting observations that we find in Scripture. This is Moses now. This is Moses, the great man of God, the man that God chose. He is Moses that graduated from the most prestigious universities of the land. He was trained, according to Acts chapter 7, trained in all the learning of the Egyptians. This man, you might say, had his PhD from the great universities of Egypt. He was trained to be Pharaoh. And then you know what happened. After 40 years of being in Egypt, he thought that perhaps God was going to raise him to set his people free. And he killed an Egyptian. And the Pharaoh found out, and so he was driven out of Egypt. And instead of being a ruler of men, leading the kingdom of Pharaoh, he was driven to the land of Midian, where he then became a shepherd. And he was actually leading goats instead of leading people, leading sheep instead of leading people. He spent 40 years doing that. And then one day, he saw a burning bush. He stopped to look at the burning bush, and who spoke to him out of the burning bush? God did. And God said, Moses, I have a job for you to do. I want you to go to Egypt and take my people out and take them to the promised land. And Moses obeyed God, and he did that. We find him now in Exodus 18, leading over almost a million people out of the land of Egypt. This is a man now that had to lead. He just got through leading goats. Now he's leading, guess what? People, almost a million people out of the land of Egypt. And so he had something to learn about leading people, because here he was a great leader to begin with, but he had a missing dimension. He did not know how to delegate. And this is what Jethro, this is, by the way, the father-in-law's name is Jethro. Never mind the TV program. This goes way back to Exodus. And Jethro was his father-in-law, and Jethro was not actually an educated man. He was from the hill country. He was actually a shepherd as well, probably a nomad, but maybe high on the spectrum as far as nomads go. But he had a common sense about him. And when he saw Moses from morning to evening with long lines in front of his tent, long lines that circled all around the tent of Israel, waiting to talk to Moses about some dispute, Jethro said, you know, we got a problem here, Moses, and that's the issue, is that you have a great problem. Moses, you don't know how to delegate responsibility, and you're never going to make it. You're not going to make it. These folks aren't going to make it, because you have to learn to delegate. And friends, that's what we need to learn tonight. If you're going to be a great leader, you have to learn to delegate responsibilities. You need to know the art of delegation. It doesn't happen. It isn't a simple observation. It is not something you just pick up along the way. It is an art. And if you do it well, you'll be a great leader. If you don't do it well, you will not be a great leader. Because a delegation is a great, great part of leadership. You know, D.L. Moody was not an educated man. That is, he was not formally educated, but he was a great leader. And D.L. Moody said, I would rather put 10 men to work than to do the work of 10 men. That's a powerful statement. I would rather put 10 men to work than do the work of 10 men. That is the wisdom of a great leader, to know how to put people to work and have them accomplish a great task. Moses had to learn the art of delegation. And that'll be our lesson tonight. It is such a powerful lesson that it'll be done in two parts. We'll talk this tonight about the reasons for delegation, why it's so critical that you and I learn to delegate responsibilities. And secondly, we'll look at the reasons why we do not delegate. Why is it that for the most part, the rank and file of us do not bother to learn the art of delegation. And we don't want to do it. And the end result is that it costs us big time. We don't become the leaders that God wants us to be. And then next time we meet together, we'll look at this text from a different perspective, and that is, how can we excel in our delegation? What are the steps that we can take then to put delegation into operation? And so for tonight, let's look at the reasons for delegation. Now, delegation is the task of selecting, instructing, and empowering others to help you accomplish an assigned task. I'll repeat it again. Delegation is the task of selecting, instructing, and empowering others to help you accomplish an assigned task. If you have an assigned task, if God gave you an assigned task, if you have a mandate from God, you have a responsibility or ministry, and then you need to then delegate this responsibility for others to help you. And that involves this process. Now, the reasons for delegation. As you read through this passage, I was intrigued when I first came across this text, because it is woven into the fabric of the passage here, reasons for delegation. And Jethro, as common as he is, yet his insight was immense, that he would be able to instruct his son-in-law on the art of delegation. And he reminded him that the reasons for delegation are obviously that we have an assigned task. We have a purpose that God has given us. And Moses had an assigned task. His main assignment was to take the nation of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. That was the assigned task that Moses had. To take the people of God out of Egypt and then take them to the promised land, and in the process instruct them concerning the law of God. Moses became the great lawgiver. If you visit Washington, D.C., if you go to the nation's capital, you'll find that of all the sages that surround there, the Congress, Moses sits there as a prime figure, as a great lawgiver. He is, in addition to our Lord Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul, he is the one of the greatest leaders of all time. And so his job was to do that. And so leadership, delegation, reminds us that we have something to do. And Jethro said, you know, Moses, you have an assignment. You have all these people that you need to instruct, you need to lead, you need to guide. Your problem is that you're not going to do it, you're not going to finish the job. Here you are from sun up to what? Sundown. And you have all these long lines, and every night people go home and you have not dealt with their problems. Every night scores and scores of people go back to their tents and you have not solved their problem. Moses, your job is to solve these people's problems, and you're not getting the job done. Delegation means that we need to find a way to finish the job. See, many times we say, well, you know, I just didn't have enough time, or I just couldn't do it. I didn't have enough time, or I just couldn't do it. Listen, friends, for leaders, that is not an excuse. You can never say that. You can never say, well, you know, I just ran out of time, or I just couldn't finish the job. Great leaders never say that. Great leaders find a way to get the job done. Say it. That's the sign of a great leader. If you're coming up with excuses on a regular basis, you have not learned the art of leadership. It involves the art of delegation. Why? Because you have a job that needs to be done. It's not that it should be done, or I hope it gets done. It must be done. It must be done. If it must be done, then it calls for the art of delegation. And that's why Jethro saw. He realized that not only do the people's problems need to be resolved, but also, secondly, leaders must focus on the greater cause. Leaders always have a greater cause. And the great cause that Moses had was not to sit in his tent and listen to people's problems and try to resolve them. Oh, that was an issue. That was one of his assignments. That was something he had to do as a leader to make sure that these things are done. No, his great overarching process, his great overarching purpose was to lead the people from Egypt where? To the promised land. See, that was what had to be done. And all of a sudden, they got bogged down with all the little funny stuff, the issues that people had, the problems that a million people have. that demanded leadership to come in and resolve these issues. Go to Acts 6 by comparison, a New Testament illustration of what I'm talking about. Go to Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, and come to verse 1 for just a moment. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in what? In number, the church began to grow. A complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So now the church was growing. When the church grows, what happens? Problems. True or not? Problems. You know, I used to love when the church was small. When we only had 40 people, I used to sleep at night. Now you keep me awake all night, folks. You see, when there's a small church, you know, there are very few issues. The more the church grows, the more the problems become. And here the church began to grow, problems surfaced. Now follow me. Verse 2. So the 12, the apostles, summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to do what?" You see, the good can become the enemy of the what? Of the best. In other words, we need to serve tables. We need to have these people's needs met. But listen, we have a greater cause. We have a greater purpose. The greater purpose we have is to preach the word, that is to get the gospel out. Now you want us to stop from preaching the gospel to sit around and minister to widows and orphans and make sure that they are fed, which needs to be done. But listen, we can't stop and do that. You're bringing the problem to us. You want us, the apostles, to solve your problem. We can't do that, because if we start doing that, we're gonna stop doing the main thing. And the main thing is the preaching of the gospel to bring people to Christ. And if we spend all of our time serving tables, that'll never get done. Therefore, we need to delegate this responsibility to others. Now, what happened here was the appointment of the first deacons responsible then for the feeding of the people here and taking care of the widows. The issue is, friend, that leaders must focus on the greater causes. If you don't, then you lose out. And before you know it, the main issue stops and the main thing doesn't get done, and we sit on with discussing or solving lesser issues, minor issues that hinder us from accomplishing the Great Commission. So many times the good becomes the enemy of the best, and leaders always need to realize, is this the best way for me to spend my time? Or have I lost focus on the main thing, which is the main task that God has given me to do? See, as an organization grows, as your ministry grows, unless you learn to delegate, you are going to then lose focus on your ministry, and you'll stop, and the ministry will not grow. The work will suffer, and the organization will suffer. Your ministry will suffer because you've taken your eyes off the main thing. And so that calls for delegation. And if you're not careful, it may be happening to you. So always keep that in mind. Thirdly, we ought need to realize that the organization must be perpetuated. In other words, we must make sure that this thing continues. In Moses' case, to make sure that the people of Israel made it to the promised land, that the people of Israel are going to get there safe and sound. They're going to get there and fulfill the call that God has given to them. That's why Jesus, for example, when he wanted to leave a church, wanted to leave a ministry, he chose 12 disciples and he made them apostles. And he delegated to them the responsibility of the church. "You are Peter," he said to Peter. "You're Peter, and upon this rock I will" what? "Build my church." In other words, you have the keys, Peter. Not just you, Peter, but all the disciples have the keys of the kingdom. It's your job to make sure that this church continues. I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell, that is, it'll never die. The church will be triumphant until the end when Christ comes. Why? Because it called for the delegation of this responsibility. See, our Lord was a master leader, a master leader. He knew he couldn't do it by himself, and he delegated this responsibility and chose 12 disciples to become the 12 apostles. Now go back to Exodus 18. There's another reason why we need to delegate. Not only to solve the original problem that God has called us to solve, not only to focus on the greater calling, greater causes, not only to perpetuate the organization that God has given us, but also to avoid needless burnout. In verse 18, Jethro had it right. He said to Moses in verse 17, the thing that you're doing is what? Not good. Now, how would you feel if your father-in-law told you that? Most of us don't listen to father-in-laws. You know, son, you're making a big mistake here. Well, that's not the way to do it. And most of us are, what do you know? I mean, I was raised, I have a PhD from the University of Alexandria, from Cairo. And Jethro, what do you have? A PhD from where? All you have is a McDLT. That's all that you have going for you. And yet, the observation that he made was so good. Look what he says in verse 18. You will surely, what? Wear out. I can see it now, Moses, you're dead. You're dead. You're going to wear out. And not only that, both yourself and these people who are with you. You're going to wear out and you're going to wear these people out. I mean, how long can they stand out here, out in line every day, for how long? How long can they put up with this? They're not going to put up. You're going to have some riots here later on, Moses. You have some problem here. You're going to wear yourself out and you're going to wear them out. Why? Because the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. And so burnout happens, people. If you're not careful, we don't learn to delegate. We take our ministry seriously. We own it the way Moses owned it. You take it and you make it something special. He says, you will burn out. You will burn out. Now, friends, some burnout is going to be natural. Some of us are geared in such a way that we are going to literally wear ourselves out. My phrase that I use oftentimes, it is better to burn out than to rust out. If I have an option between rusting out and burning out, guess what my choice will be? You know, I'm going to burn out. Never be afraid of burning out for God. However, always approach your ministry with a great deal of wisdom, divine wisdom, and then learn the art of delegation. Because some burnout is not necessary. If you work from sunup to sundown, if you're exhausting yourself, if you're doing and putting out and putting out and putting out, doing the task all by yourself, it is going to eventually wear at you. It'll affect your health. We have many of our executives who have not learned the art of delegation, who die a premature death, who sometimes are physically, just a physical wreck, because they don't sleep well. They don't eat well. They are always stressed out. Why? Because they have not learned to the art of delegation. Some of us, because we have not learned, will eventually lose our love for the task. We'll get upset. We'll get angry. We'll get mad at people. And then we start hating the thing we love the most. We love this ministry. We love what we did, but burnout begins to get upon us, and after a while, we don't want to do it anymore. We want to throw in the towel. We want to stop and no longer minister. Why? Because we're approaching burnout. Burnout is when you don't have that love for that anymore. And the ministry and the things you do begin to bother you. You hate going to work. You hate going to ministry. You hate people calling you. You hate the phone to ring. You hate the text messages. Why? Because you're approaching burnout. Some people have fixed the family because you're never home. You're never home. You're never able to spend wonderful time with your family. Just enjoy your wife, enjoy your children, enjoy your husband. Why? Because we just have this thing that we don't have enough time for them. And the issue is ultimately burnout. And then we neglect the people. Your ministry eventually bothers them, affects them. Before you know it, the people are not benefited. And they don't receive the benefit they should be receiving because we have not learned to delegate responsibilities. The widows in Acts 6 were being neglected. The people here were in Exodus were not having their problem solved. The end result is burnout. And friend, you don't need to burn out. Nobody here at First Fundamental ever should burn out, at least not without heavy reason. We should last. We should be able to make it all the way. How? By learning to delegate responsibly. So go back to Exodus 18. And I want us to look at this text from a different perspective. Why is it that some of us do not delegate? Why are some of us not effective at delegating? Now think about your ministry, or think about your potential ministry. And you're going to come across these issues, these problems that we have. And as you look at Moses and you look at others, you get a sense as to why it never crossed. Maybe it did cross. I'm sure it crossed Moses' mind, this whole issue of delegation. But he had to learn to delegate. By the way, that's encouraging for me, as I hope it is to you. Here was this great man that God chose, one of the greatest leaders of all time, but even he had to learn to delegate. Amazing. Therefore, let's not feel too bad. If we then, having to go back to the ABCs of leadership and learn to delegate. But reason with me, because over the years we've spoken to leaders, not only here, but also different places, and trying to encourage leaders to become better leaders, and the whole issue of delegation comes to the surface. And here's where we have the issues, and I want you just to mark some of these issues down. Why don't we delegate? Well, first of all, is that we confuse our role. We confuse our role. We confuse our role in the whole process of solving problems. And that's what Moses said to Jethro. Look at verse 15. When Jethro confronted Moses about the problem, Moses said, listen, I have to be here because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, it comes to me, and I judge between a man and his neighbor and make known the statutes of God and his laws. His reasoning was this: well, you know, God spoke to me, Jethro. God spoke to me in the burning bush, and God asked me to solve these people's problems. Therefore, that's what I'm doing. I'm solving these people's problems. Did you get that? Now, was he right or was he wrong? Was he right or was he wrong? He was both right and he was also wrong. That's the answer to that one. Okay, so you're both right. Okay, so here we all win. See, in other words, he said, now, so he got the mandate right. It's my job to solve these people's problems. That was right. Where he was wrong is thinking that I personally need to solve these people's problems. That's where he got it wrong. See, a leader, we confuse that. We think that because we have a ministry, we have a calling, that somehow I personally need the one to solve the problems. That's not leadership. Leadership is this. It's up to me to see to it that the problem is resolved. See the difference? It's up to me to see to it, not that I personally have to answer every single question, that I have to personally resolve every single problem. It is my job to see to it that every problem is resolved, that somebody is there to help them. That is delegation. And see, we can sometimes forget that. We confuse the role of the mandate and how we're going to be accomplishing the job. And doing that, then we become a lone wolf. We become a leader that never delegates, who feels that somehow he is responsible for the resolution or the solving or the accomplishing of this task all by him or herself. So don't confuse the role. Don't confuse the role. You know, somehow that it's my responsibility to make sure that every table, everyone is fed, that I feed them personally. The answer is no. It's my responsibility to make sure that everyone is fed and get that job, get that done so that everyone has a plate and everyone has a meal. But it's not my job to personally serve every single person a plate of food. You see the difference? And Moses had to learn that. He thought that somehow, because God called him, that it was his job personally to be there to talk to every single person in the entire nation. And the answer was obviously no. You're to see to it that these people's problems are resolved and that they learn the word of God and the word and the law of God. But not that you have to personally, physically be the one to interact with every single Jew, every single Israelite in this entire camp. Second problem, or why we don't delegate, we fear failure. We fear We fear, we don't want to fail at what we do. And I think Moses had this thing as well. He had a mandate from God, and he didn't want to fail. And so, you see, when you delegate, you have a sense of losing control. Have you noticed that? Okay, you have a sense of losing control. And once you delegate a responsibility, you fear failure. What if they don't come through? Right? What if he doesn't show up? What if he doesn't get the job done? Well, in that case, I better do it what? Better do it myself. And if that's your thinking continuously, friend, you'll never delegate. You'll never delegate. It's a sense of you need to turn it over. You need to realize that delegation means that you should not be afraid of losing control. You need to be able to realize that this job is going to be done by somebody else. By the way, that was Saul and David's problem. Remember Saul, King Saul and David? King Saul was a great warrior. He was a great warrior. He was heads and tall above all things. And then little David came along. And guess who was even a greater warrior? You know, David was a greater warrior. They even made a song they sang on the radio, CD. Saul has killed his thousands, and David what? His 10,000s. And man, that bothered him greatly. Remember that? It bothered him greatly. He thought he was losing control of the kingdom. Was he losing control of the kingdom? No. No. David recognized who was in charge. He recognized the king. And yet he thought he was losing control. There's also, by the way, another reason is also glory or the joy of doing something. You see, in other words, we are not going to always delegate things we love doing. Things we love doing. Or things that we receive glory about. Because sometimes you love doing something and you hate to let go of it, but you have to. You have to. I would have loved this morning to be in the baptismal tank and baptize my own grandchildren. I would have loved to do that. But friend, I used to do that for years. I did it for decades. And I know that the stress and the hassle that goes from getting out of the baptismal tank and then changing and racing down here and then to do both, baptize and preach at the same time. And I gave that up a long time ago. And if I had, I would rather have the joy of being able to baptize. If I had one ministry, if I was not the pastor, and I had one ministry, the one that brings me the most joy is new life in Christ. There was one ministry that I would park myself in and have the time of my life is a new life in Christ class. And there was a time when I taught that class. I taught every person that came to Christ, and then I baptized them. I was a one-man show. Did you know that? But how long can you last? See, I love these things, but sometimes you have to let go of the things you love to do other things. And sometimes we crave the glory or crave the experience, and we don't want to turn it over to anybody. And the end result then that we plateau in our ministry because we can't do it all. You can't do it by your what? By yourself. And so we realize that. Here's another reason why we don't delegate. Is that we are also ignorant of the process of delegation. Just like Moses, we have no idea how to do it. No idea how to do it. Imagine, we'll talk about this next time we meet together, but imagine that Jethro had to tell Moses how to do it. How to get organized. Now here, Moses, here's how you're supposed to do it. And to think that here Moses is taking notes from his father-in-law, the leader of sheep, talking to the leader of the nation of Israel. You know, it's like some barrio guy giving President Obama, you know, notes on how to run the government. Think about that one. And yet that's exactly what's taking place here, because you see, you have to learn the art, the process of delegation. You have to be open to learning it. And I hope tonight that we are getting into it and saying, you know, I need to learn how to delegate. And if I don't, then my ministry, my task, my experience is going to plateau. May I also say that another reason why we don't delegate is that it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work, and some of us are just too lazy to do what needs to be done. Delegation demands a high work ethic. It means that you need to be on top of your game. On top of your game, thinking of ways to get the job done. See, and the Christian church suffers from mediocrity. People doing the same things over and over again, but never care to improve it. They're not on top of the game, just showing up and going through the motions. And that's really a sad commentary on our ministries across the land. And thereby, we never think about improving. We never think about excellence. We never think about the fact that we need to do something great. That means to be on top of the game, to be thinking of how in the world can I improve my ministry? How in the world can I do what needs to be done? Always thinking about that. You're dreaming, you're asking, you're exploring, you're researching, how can I really do a better job at my ministry? And that is going to call for great effort. Now, if you're lazy, if you don't want to get involved in it, friend, you're never going to delegate because it just takes too much work. To sit down with people just takes too much work. Take too much work. You know, if you're a mother and you have like 7 daughters, that's a lot of work. 7 kids is a lot of work. Would you agree, ladies? Having 7 kids is a lot of work. It is a lot of work in the early years. In the first 10 years, it's a lot of work. But you know, once they get to 10, 11, 12 years, then if you do the art of delegation, friend, your work is easy. Because you have 7 daughters, what you have is 7 built-in maids. Think about that. 7 built-in maids. You have a maid that's going to wash dishes, one that's going to vacuum the house, one that's going to wash clothes, one that's going to make beds, one that's going to help to cook, one that's going to wash dishes. Friend, all you're going to be doing is sitting down, having a cup of coffee and some Spanish sweetbread and gaining weight. Because you learn the art of what? Delegation. But if you don't know the art of delegation, then you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. And the end result is you're going to wear yourself out and be upset at your 7 beautiful daughters who spend all their time in front of the mirror and then come to eat and go back to the mirror. You see? In other words, it takes work. And if you're lazy, you're not going to get the job done. That's why some of us don't delegate. We're not on top of the game. We don't care about our ministries growing. We don't care if they have a lot or a little. It doesn't bother us. As long as we show up and as long as there's something going on, we get a little bit of recognition, then we're content with that. Friend, that'll never do. That'll never do. You need to be on top of your game. May I say also, another reason why we don't delegate is because we're just overcommitted. That's the opposite. We're overcommitted. We don't have time to delegate. You ever hear that? I just don't have time. Friend, that is an obvious reason why we should delegate. Because you're overcommitted. Overcommitted means that somehow you have not learned the art of delegation. And you have misplaced all your priorities are turned upside down. If you're so overcommitted, you can't even stop what you're doing to delegate responsibility. It means that you have dug yourself into a hole. And you need to call time out and pull yourself out of the hole and get back to what you need to do. Delegation means you take one step back to take 2 steps forward. That's what it means. You take one step back to train someone else to do what needs to be done so that both of you can take 2 steps forward. That's delegation. And if you're too committed, if you're overcommitted and you don't have time to do that, then we have a problem. You've dug yourself into a hole. And you are too committed, overcommitted. And that is a problem that we can face. So think about that. And if that's the case, call time out and then take a couple of steps back, train other people, and then you can all move forward and learn to get the job done. Here's another reason why we don't delegate. We don't delegate because we feel that we can do it better than other people can. We don't delegate because we feel that we can do it better than other people can. And that can happen to us. Well, nobody can do it as well as I do. No one can cook as well as I can. Oh, get away, Michal. Get away, honey. You can't cook the way I do. So you go and you go watch TV because I'm going to cook a meal that your dad's going to love. So guess what? Your Michal never learns to cook. Follow me? And because she never learns to cook, she never gets married. And if she never gets married, she's home with you for the rest of her life. And you're cooking for your husband and for your daughter and your daughters. You follow me? I don't even want to go there. But you see, in other words, you need to get off this thing of thinking that somehow what you do, no one else can do it as well as you can. And it may be true. The only problem is that we have other things that need to be done, and someone's got to come in and do these things. So you need to realize that you're going to have to turn these people over sometimes to folks that cannot do the job that needs to be done. You know, it just the way it is. As you know, in my home, in our home, we have never made a lot of money. And so we've not had the luxury of hiring people to do things. Never had the luxury to hire a gardener to take care of the lawn and to mow the lawn, etc. So the Lord, we are blessed because the Lord gave us a built-in gardener for many years. Our son Alex became the gardener in our home. And so as a little kid, I thought about delegation. So when he was a little guy, I bought him a plastic lawnmower. And so as I mowed the lawn, you know, he thought it was a big game. So he would follow with me mowing the lawn, you know, and so we'd have a lot of fun. Okay, come on, son, you know, we mow the lawn. He's right. And the lawnmower made some noise, you know. So he thought he was doing some big job. He didn't know that I was working on delegation. And then one year he graduated to the power mower. And then it was his. And when he took over, he made a disaster of the lawn. I mean, there was like stuff hanging out, you know, like all the thing wasn't cut right and all that. But see, and it bothered me. But I realized that I had to put up with that. And so, you know, he worked on it and he perfected it. And one day he didn't mow the lawn, I mowed it. And then when I got done, he said, Dad, that was a lousy job you did. Now I know I graduated. See, when he did a better job than I could, now we have it. You see, friend, when you delegate, you're going to have people that are going to do a job as good, if not better, than you. And this is important. You see, you need to do that. When I was a teenager, I used to work with my dad. We were at our summer job. My summer job was to go with him as a teenager. And when I was 12, 13, 14, 13, 12 or 13, I would go with him, and my job was to stand next to him as he would stack. Back in those days, you would stack watermelons in these huge semis, these 40-footers, and you would stack them what they call water high, which is about seven melons high, and you would stack them as what they call water level. And my job was to teach the world to see that. And it was water level, always green, because a watermelon has a white spot and a green spot. Always the white spot down and the green. And it was like a jigsaw puzzle. I would watch him as a jigsaw puzzle, putting everything together. And I watched that. And then one day he said, son, it's your turn. And he turned it over to me. And I became what they call a stacker. So by the age of 16, I was stacking 40-footers all by myself. Because he let me do that. And he would trust me with that. He would give me a hoe. I would stack 40 tons a day as a teenager. Because he trusted me and delegated this responsibility. You see, the issue is you need to feel that other people can also do the job. And so you have to train and trust them. You can't always be jealous of them. You can't always, you know, think bad of them or think that they're inferior. They're there to help you. And it's better for us to get the job done, even if it's not done properly, than for it not to get done at all. And we have to think about that. Better for the job to be done properly than it to not be done at all. And so for that reason, we have to learn to delegate. Delegation oftentimes produces better results, many times, because we have other people helping us to accomplish the job. Matter of fact, the aim of delegation is to do the best job we possibly can by including people, good people, to be a part of this whole delegation process. So friend, don't ever be afraid. Don't ever feel that somehow because you are the expert and no one else can do it as well as you can. That just may be true. But if you don't include other people, friend, you'll never do more. You'll never do more than you're doing now. You may do things excellent, but you'll never do more than that. And your job is to do more than that. To do much more than that. I'm sure that as far as Moses is concerned, he was perhaps the best of all the teachers there ever was. But you know, he had to lead versus to be a teacher. And so he had to do that. And so this is the art of delegation. Let me say finally, we don't delegate because we can't find capable people. We can't find capable people. And sometimes in our task of putting people to work, we have to find people. We have to find those that we can turn over responsibilities. Sometimes they're not qualified. We'll speak about that next time we meet together. And so never get the wrong person to do the job for you. You always want to find the right person. Because you want to make sure that the right person is alongside to help you. Many times the people that we want to help us are untaught. They're unskilled. They've never done it before. And so there's a process of having us go through the process of teaching people the responsibilities. In too many of our churches, we don't help people in this process. We don't train them. We just dump stuff on them and expect them to survive. They can't survive because they're not taught. You know, sometimes, and listen to me carefully, sometimes people don't want to volunteer to help you. When you ask them, would you help me? They don't want to volunteer to help you because they're afraid to fail. They don't want to fail you. But listen, friend, as in the art of delegation, always the delegator takes full responsibility. If the system fails, you fail, not them. If something doesn't go right, you fail, not them. Because in delegation, you never really are out of sight. You never really lose control. You're always supervising, making sure that if it can go wrong, it doesn't go wrong. And so people don't want to fail. That's why people don't volunteer, because they don't want to fail. And if you want to be successful in your ministry, make sure that your people never fail. And if they do fail, don't jump on them, because we're all going to fail at one time or another. Are we not? The only way you get experience is by doing things. The only way you do it is by doing that. When my father was teaching me to stack, I would sometimes stack the melons, and I would have what they call a landslide. They would all come crushing down. That was embarrassing. Or you would have the inspector come in, and he would put 10 melons, and he would slice the melons, all 10 of them. And if 4 were green, he would condemn the whole load. Talk about failing. Oh, my dad knew that. My dad would always take responsibility. He would say to the inspector, it's my fault. I'll take care of it. He never said, my son did it. He would never say, well, the kid did it. He would say, I'll take care of it, sir. My responsibility. You see, and he taught me then just to have confidence. And so it is when you have people, you know, don't get mad at them. Don't jump on them. Give them a chance to fail. Because only as you fail are we going to ever make it. True or not? And that's our philosophy at First Fundamental. In our church here, friend, you can try everything and you can fail. You can fail many times. We're not going to jump on you. Why? Because we're producing leaders here. Here's a place to be. Here's a place to practice. Okay? You take the sound ministry and you blow it a few times. That's the way it's going to be from time to time. We had a fellow who used to help us on the Wednesday night. And the first time he got up to play the guitar, he broke all 5 strings. By the end of the song service, he was down to 1 string. Did I fire him? No. I just figured 1 string is better than no strings. Because if it isn't him, it's me. And you don't want that to happen. You follow me? And so we move on with that. That's the key then. And so recognize that this is the issue. Let me encourage you to think about these areas as to why we do not delegate. Again, we need to accomplish the Great Commission. We cannot do it by ourselves. We need to have people helping us. Amen? And so think through this whole art of delegation. Now let me ask you a question. We're done. Look at me now. Are you, in your ministry, do you have people under you that you're learning to delegate responsibilities? Are the people that you're training to take on the responsibilities? It could be in your home, like I mentioned with our own children, doing responsible tasks. But also, like, especially in your work, in your ministry. How is it with you? Are you approaching burnout? Are you getting angry at God's people? Yeah, a bunch of wackos here at First Fundamental. Is it really that, or is it you that really have not really bothered to help people come along to help you get the job done? Think about it. Okay, think about it. And then we're going to come back and go to part two, how we can then learn the steps toward delegation, that we can accomplish the Great Commission for the glory of God. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much. I thank you for tonight. Thank you for all the wonderful people here this evening and great leaders you've given us. And Father, we want to excel. We want to be on top of the game. This is your work. This is your church. You're a God of excellence. And help us also to be a people that are leading in an excellent manner. So, Lord, thank you. Help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.